If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to a very familiar verse of Scripture. It is where I was preaching from last week. I just feel like God wants me to finish the message, or at least go further in the message I was preaching last week on the God who hears. If you'll turn with me to Psalms, the 65th division, the second verse, put your finger there and turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 and the sixth verse. Amen. I'm believing God to touch and minister to us this morning. Amen. Glory. Would somebody just say praise the Lord? Man, y'all awful quiet. Look, I don't make y'all feel good. I got my watch back. You know what that means? If at 12 o'clock I'm gonna have something to say, I hit the button, it backs up. Glory. Amen. Glory. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord, though, and have His presence. And listen, church, our God's a great God. Amen. I thank God that we didn't have any tornadoes yesterday in our area. Amen. And that, that we didn't have any destruction. That God just put His hand on us, and all we got was water. Amen. And not too much of that. It got to rain, and all I could think about was, don't tell me that we're going to get water in the church a month after we got it fixed. Lord, I mean, I like this, but I don't want to have to do it again. Amen. But it is so good to be here. And let's just believe God to touch us. Psalms, the 65th division. Amen. The second verse said, oh, that thou hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 6, and I'm going to go ahead and get my glasses on, so I'll be sure I don't miss this one. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. Church, we have a God who hears when we cry. You believe that? Amen. I want you to pray with me now and ask God to touch us today and minister to us. God, we thank You for Your word, and we ask, Lord, that You would put Your anointing on this word. God, that You would bless us to hear. Open our ears to be attentive to You, God, and let the power of Your love move on us, for it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye, and say, hey, God's good. Amen. Amen. Glory. You know, church, we have natures that make us who we are. You know, years ago I was in a class studying about human behavior and nature. And you know, some folks, you just can't change the nature. The story about the frog swimming in the creek, in the river rather, and he got up to the bank and there was a scorpion there, and the scorpion kept saying, I'd like to get to the other side. And the frog said, well, I'm not taking you. He said, oh, come on, just get me on your back, take me to the other side. He said, no, you'll sting me, I'll die. He said, I wouldn't do that, I'd drown. And he kept working and working. He finally convinced the frog that he'd do it. And the frog climbed up and let him get on his back, and about halfway across the river, sure enough, the scorpion stung the frog. And the frog was sitting there going, oh, man, I can't believe you did that. Now you're going to die. He said, I know it's my nature, though, man. I just couldn't keep from doing it. And, you know, that's basically the way we are. We are creatures of habit. We have natures that make us who we are. And, you know, the thing about God is God has natures, things that we can look at through the Word and through time that's gone by that let us understand that God follows who He is. Matter of fact, it is so good that one writer said there is in Him no invariableness, neither is there shadow of turning, which means God doesn't even act like He's going to change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So I'm telling you, church, the same God that heard the cry of Abraham when he prayed for Lot is the same God you're talking to today. That same God that heard David when he prayed is the same God that's listening to us today. That same God that heard the prayers of the children of Israel so many times in the Old Testament is the same God that's on the throne today. And all I can tell you is He said, call unto Me and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hallelujah. Amen. According to the writer of Psalms, he used the Hebrew word shema or shalma, which simply means to listen intently. Implicated, He's given you His attention. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but isn't that awesome to think we got a God that's got nearly 7 billion people in the world, but if everybody starts praying at once, He's got the attention of every one of them, and He's looking at them. Amen. Praise God. God hears my prayer. Amen. I like that. I don't have to worry. I'm not praying through some angel. I ain't got some secondary guy going to get it, take a message to Him. Amen. Ain't nothing like calling somebody on the phone, and all you get is a message machine or somebody hoping they get the message. But when you call them and they answer, It's something about the guy. I got that person. I know they're going to hear what I got to say. Amen. And it's God's deal to hear. Amen. In Isaiah, he said, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they shall see the blessed Lord and their offsprings with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I'll hear. You know what that tells me? That while I'm thinking about calling on God, God's going to hear my prayer. Hallelujah. You said, now wait a minute, preacher. I know that some of y'all look at me and say, now, I actually had a guy tell me one time, said, God don't know everything. My God does. My God is omniscient. He knows everything. Amen. Said, preacher, can you prove it? How many of you was in Sunday school class this morning? How many of you read the Sunday school lesson? You know where Jesus is at Simon's house, he's eating, and the lady comes off the street who is most likely a prostitute, and she starts weeping and washing his feet with her tears and wiping it with her hair. And the Bible said Simon thought within himself, who are you? If you're a prophet, why would you let her touch you? And the Bible said in the next verse, Jesus answered what that guy thought. Now, you don't think that'll blow your mind. Be sitting around with somebody thinking something, and they give you the answer to what you're thinking about. Glory. Now, that's the same God I'm serving right now. If he could read Simon's mind and know what he thought, he can read my mind right now. Hello? Say, well, that's not good enough. How many of you remember when Sarah laughed within herself because God told Abraham he's going to give him a son and she's about to die because they're both in their 90s? Hello? Come on. That'd be like Brother and Sister Clements down there looking for baby stuff because we're going to have a baby. I love y'all. I thought about that. I'm in trouble. But you know, church, this is reality. I mean, she laughed within herself. And what did God say? He said, your wife is laughing at me. She didn't laugh out loud. She laughed within herself, but God knew it. So I got proof through the word of God that God hears our inner thought. That's why he says, while you're formulating what you're going to say with your mouth, I hear it. Amen. You say, well, preacher, how can he do that? Because according to the word of God, your heavenly Father already knows what you have need of. You say, well, why did I pray? He said, because he said, come before my throne with boldness, making requests known unto me. And when we come to him that way, we've got a God that will hear and a God that will answer when we pray to him. Could you say amen? Amen. I read Isaiah where he said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy that they cannot hear. Amen. Church, we got to believe that God hears our prayer. Amen. That's an important part of everything we receive from him. Without believing God hears our prayer, we can never get saved. You've got to believe God hears, or just confessing your sins wouldn't do you any good. But if you come to God, the first thing you got to do is believe he is. And the minute you believe he is, there's no reason why you can't have everything the Bible said you could have in your life. Because if you believe God is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, then you can have salvation. You can be filled with the Spirit. You can walk in the power of God's grace and live in this world and have joy and peace and happiness. Come on, church. Say, well, preacher, does that mean I'm not going to have problems? No. That means you're going to have a God going to be with you in the problem. And because he's with you, you're going to understand he's going to make it. Amen. See, we have false views of prayer today. Some claim that God's limited by natural laws. Oh, God can only do what nature lets him do. Now, church, how dumb is that? Some of y'all saying, you preached this last week. I'm running through it for the folks who wasn't here. But how dumb is it to believe that the guy that made it all go into motion, spoke it into place, don't know how to control it? Hello? I mean, we're talking about the guy that put the pea in the pot and the corn on the cob, made the water run over Niagara Falls, and then you want to tell me he couldn't take the pea out of the pot or take the corn off the cob or either stop the water from flowing whenever he took a notion? Oh, hello? I mean, scientists have studied and they still can't figure out how the earth goes around the sun, doesn't get out of orbit. Do you realize if we change our trajectory less than 2%, we would hit Mars eventually? Amen. And yet it never happens. Why? Because the God that put it in motion knows what's going on. He's got his hand on it. He's moving it. And church, what we've got to do is understand that's the God in whom I trust. That's the God in whom I'm calling on. A God that not only hears, but a God that has control of those things that are in my life. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. Some claim that miracles have ceased. Church, let me ask you something. The people that teach that believe miracles stopped in 64 AD. Now, you know what that means? That was the year that John the Beloved died. So let's see. Here's a guy. He's laying up in the house. People outside waiting on miracles. And the dude comes out and says, go on home. He's dead. No more miracles. Hello? Someone said, that's stupid, preacher. Well, that's what people are teaching. They're teaching something that's stupid. That miracles stopped when John died. Did miracles stop when John was born? Did they get started in John? Was he the only one that ever did a miracle? Was there not miracles in the book of Genesis? Was there not miracles in the Old Testament? Was there not miracles all down through the time of God? So therefore we can't say because one of his disciples died, miracles ceased, God didn't die. I know that in Emory University in 1966, a professor said, God's dead. I understand that, and he may be to him. If you close the door and don't talk to him, he probably is dead to you. But the truth of the matter is, he is alive. He is on the throne. My Savior, Jesus Christ, came forth from the grave, and today is at the right hand of the Father. Father, make an intercession for me, and as long as I cry unto him, I've got a God who can hear and who can answer my prayer. And miracles have not gone away. There is a God today that does miracles in this world, who is still a God that hears us when we cry and does great things for us. Amen. Glory. I still believe God answers prayer. But now listen to this. A prayer answering God, a prayer hearing God, is a living God, not an idol. Church, I've been to Israel, and I've been to the tomb of Jesus. Somebody said, how you know you went to the right one? Because I went to all three of them. If you ever go to Jerusalem, they'll take you, and the guide that's the guide will say, this is the so-and-so's traditional spot. He'll take you to another and say, this is so-and-so's traditional spot. Then he'll take you to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Now, how many of you understand he was buried in the tomb of Joseph Arimathea? Now, it's a good sign. You got the tomb. You're in the place. Come on, church. Now, you know why the others have got it? Because they want to buy it and charge you to get there. And the British government just happens to own this garden that tomb's in, and they won't let them buy it and charge you. They charge you. And you get to go in that place. And, you know, I went there. And so for years, I wouldn't go. I had this cynical attitude. Friends of mine would call me, I'm getting a trip up to Israel, why don't you go? We're going to go to the tomb of Jesus. One said, we even going to let you pray in the tomb. And I said, look, if an angel said 2,000 years ago he wasn't there, why am I going today looking for him? Made sense to me. Amen. Then I went to the tomb, got to the tomb, walked in the tomb, and there was just something about that place that when I got there, something began to let me know. You know, I went to them other places. I didn't have a whole lot of feeling. Now, it was pretty. It was nice. But I walk in this tomb, and there was something got all over me, and it was like, hey, this is it. Amen. Glory. And my son was with me, and I'll never forget, he was acting tough. And he wasn't going to be baptized in the Jordan River because he'd been baptized. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God hit him. And when that 17-year-old son of mine grabbed my arm and said, this is it, ain't it, Dad? And the Spirit of God, I said, yeah, we're in the right place. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something, church. When you get that, you begin to realize my God's alive. I don't have to go to a place and crawl through a place and bump my head on the carpet. Amen. Next time you talk to a Muslim, they get talking about Muhammad, ask them, say, look, if your God is alive, why is his bones buried in Mecca? They believe he's buried in the walls of that place in Mecca. That's why they crawl through there bumping their head on the carpet, kissing the floor, hoping the bones of Muhammad will bless them. But the reason they want that temple in Jerusalem is they believe he ascended into heaven right there. Now, my God ascended into heaven, but his bones ain't in Jerusalem. They went with him. Amen. He come forth from that grave with power over death, hell, and the grave. He is not dead. He is alive. And because my God is alive, I can believe that my God does hear and my God does answer my prayer. Could you say amen? Praise God. You remember when Elijah was praying on the mountain and the prophets of Baal were there? And he said, well, let's just have a contest. You call your God. If he answers, okay, I'll call on my God. If he answers, then we'll know who God is. And you ever hear the words of Elijah? They're down there praying, and you got to understand, in Baalism, they would cut themselves and they'd, you know, stick themselves with stuff. They'd pierce their ears and nose and tongue. I know I can leave that out, but it's here. It's there. It's historical. Glory. And they was out there doing all this junk and probably walking on fire and doing all this stuff. And Elijah sitting up under a tree. Hey, guys, maybe your God's asleep. Get a little louder. And they get a little louder. He said, well, maybe your God, in the King James, says pulled aside. But what he actually said was, maybe your God's gone to the bathroom. So I said, preacher, that's almost bad. No, no, no. He was trying to let them know, y'all foolish be praying to a God can't hear you. He's dead. Best he's got is this bull y'all holler at down there. That's supposed to be a symbol of him. And all of a sudden they get through and they say, okay, it's your turn. He said, I know. But I can't use that junk y'all was using. My God wouldn't accept it, so let's move all that. They tear it down. He goes out there and he builds him up this altar, and he puts his bullocks on there and gets ready to offer the sacrifice. He said, now, fellas, just to show you how confident I am in my God, I need y'all to go down there and get some barrels of water. Now, if y'all have ever been there, y'all understand they had to go down this big old hill and get barrels of water and haul it back up. That didn't make them happy, but they did it, because they're sitting there thinking, this guy is an idiot. Ain't nothing going to happen. And he pours water on the sacrifice. He's going to burn. How many of you knows if you pour water on wood, it won't burn? He put so much on there, they dug a ditch around it so it couldn't all run off. And he gets all this water on there, and he turns around and he said, okay, fellas, here it is. He says 60-something words, and fire shoots down, hits the sacrifice, sets it on fire, laps up the water, dries the ground out. And all of a sudden he said, now you know that he is the Lord God that does hear and does answer prayer. And I want to tell you, church, that's the same God I'm serving right now. It doesn't matter if my wood's wet. He's still got the fire to do something in my life if I call on him, because he is alive. Could you say amen? But I notice this, a prayer hearing God is an all-knowing God. Hello? So wait a minute, preacher. You said that a while ago. God's not all-knowing. What is it that God don't know? If he can read your mind and he knows your future. Hello? If the Spirit of God knows to pray for things you don't know how to pray for, read that in the book of Romans chapter 8. Then he knows something you don't know. God knows things about me I don't know. Sometimes when I'm praying, it is good for me to pray long enough to get in the Spirit, because the Spirit will pray about stuff I don't even know how to pray about. Lord. He'll start talking to God about what's around the curve. Come on, church. Amen. Somebody said, now, wait a minute, preacher. That's crazy. Let me tell you something, church. Several years back, I was in revival at a church over in Fayette County. It's called Trinity Church of God. It's out near the lake. It's in the middle of nowhere. And I was running revival out there. We had an awesome time. Amen. The first revival, I ran 23 people filled with the Holy Ghost. I think it was 30-something saved. Started the church. Went back and preached another revival. Lasted 2 weeks. And I was in the middle of that revival. And Frida was expecting Alicia. Alex was in the back seat with her. He's like 3 years old, because it's getting on over toward time for her. He was 2.5, 3 years old. We're beaming down this back road. And y'all got to understand something. I'm never late, but I'm on time a lot. Y'all need an explanation just to understand. If you check the tires on my car, there ain't no grass growing in them. And I'm going down that back road, and I might not be breaking the speed limit just because there wasn't no signs. I figured there ain't no sign, it's your discretion. And I'm going down that back road, and man, I'm going up there, and all of a sudden Alex gets out of his seat, jumps up behind me, throws his arms around my neck, said, I want to see him deer, Daddy. And while I'm trying to get stopped, he's crawling over the seat and wallowing all over me, trying to get up, choking me. And I got my foot on the brake, going around the curve, and about that time he gets down beside me, and I look up, and there's a herd of deer standing in the road. I stopped before we got to the deer. Now, he couldn't see around that curve any more than I could. But somebody told him there were deer around that curve. And he crawls over the seat trying to tell me he wants to see the deer. And he's sitting there looking at me. He said, yep, there they are. Popped me on the shoulder, jumped back over the seat, got back in the seat, looked at his mom, said, hook me up. Had I turned the curve at the speed I was going at, I wouldn't have seen the deer till they were coming through the windshield to see me. And that car would have been tore up. We would have been hurt. Amen. And you know, church, the reality is I've got a God that saw around that curve, knew what I didn't know. Come on, church. Amen. Now, you may serve a God that's limited, but my God's not limited by space. He's not limited by power. He's not limited in knowledge. Amen. My God is omniscient, omnipresent. Amen. Glory. He is ubiquitous. He doesn't ever change. Amen. And that's the God I serve. And if you've got a God that's alive, going to hear your prayer, he's going to be a God that hears and knows everything. Could you say amen? The Bible tells me in Matthew chapter 6, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. Glory. Amen. A prayer answering God, not only that's an all-powerful God, he's omnipotent. He's not bound in power. There is nothing God can't overcome or do. I mean, in Joshua chapter 10, listen to what happened. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the 12th verse. And the day when the Lord delivered the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Amen. And what happened? And the sun stood still. Glory. Now, some people say God held a sun in the sky, but the sun don't move. The earth turns. So what he done, he reached down and said, and the earth just stopped. Sat dead still for 24 hours or so. And then God said, okay. And it got back to spinning. Now I say, preacher, you're crazy. You explain it. Hello? All I know is it happened. I've never spent my time trying to explain anything about God, because I figured out real quick, like, there's a lot of it I couldn't explain if I tried. I have no idea how God took nothing and made everything out of it, but I know he did it. I don't know how God hung everything on nothing and made it stay there, but I know he did it. Hallelujah. Amen. I can't tell you how a black cow can eat green grass, give white milk, but I like to drink it. Amen. And I learned to quit questioning about it, because I understand that's how it happens. Amen. I don't know how God held the sun still in the sky other than he just stopped the earth from spinning, but I can tell you this. They say you can't do it, but I believe God did it. And I believe he did it because he is a God who has no limit to his power and what he can do. Could you say amen? Praise God. Listen, God, a prayer answering God, is a God of mercy. God knows our past, and God knows most of us didn't deserve to have him hear anything we got to say. Hello? Come on, church. But God's love is boundless. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace does much more abound. In the lesson this morning, the Sunday school lesson, they talked about the debtor. And God gave a parable where he said one man owed 500 denarii and another man owed 50. And neither of them could pay their debt. And in those days, if you couldn't pay your debt, you didn't file bankruptcy. You didn't go to debtor's court. You went to jail. Hello? You didn't get 3 months and they come pull your car. He just call and they go throw you in jail. Then he get the car after you is gone. Or your camel, whichever it was. But something strange happened. This guy could have locked both of them up, but he said he forgave them both. The question Jesus asked was, which one do you think loved the debtor more, the one that owned the 50 or the one that owed the 500? And the guy said, well, I guess the one that owed the 500. So you got to understand, that's where we are. There are people in the church who do not love God as much as some of us, because some of us were at the bottom of the pit when God got a hold of us. And we know that it is just by his grace that we're even allowed to breathe in this world anymore, much less have the joy and the peace that God's put in our heart. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, church, I would have loved to have been raised in a church and never done some of the things I've done in my life. But I told you a few weeks ago, everything I am is because of what I became, because I went through what I went through. But I believe in God the way I believe in God, because I know where I was, and I know where God's brought me from, and I know what God's done in my life, and therefore I know there is no one in this world that the mercy of my God cannot come down to their life and change them completely and bring them out. I'm like the old guy that wrote the song, amen, I once was lost but now I'm found, I was blind but now I see, and I thank God that one day God looked down and in his infinite mercy lifted me up, set me up right and made my life what it is, and I wouldn't take anything for what God's doing in my life right now. And I know God heard the cry of a young man in Buell, Alabama, and turned his life around and made me who I am. Could you say amen? We need to learn to pray. We need to make prayer a part of our everyday life. Talking and communicating with God is the only thing, other than the strength of his word, that's going to carry us when everything else is letting us down. Amen. Remember, church, God never commanded us to sing without ceasing. God never commanded us to preach without ceasing. God never told us to give without ceasing. God never said to work without ceasing. But in Thessalonians, he said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. I think today one of the greatest needs in all Christendom for people to realize God hears you when you're praying. God hears you when you're talking to him. And all we got to do is talk, and God listens. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. And his mercy is so great that he don't care what you did yesterday or last night. As long as you knock on that door and open it, he'll come in unto you. And he'll get rid of yesterday. And he'll give you a tomorrow like you never thought could ever be. If you just turn it over to him. Would you stand with me all over the house?